Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, Singapore has announced its first two-way travel bubble with Hong Kong, the first unilateral arrangement that will see travellers from both sides undergo testing instead of quarantine. Details of the arrangement are still being worked out, but to find out what this means and why it's important for Singapore's economy, we're joined today by Prof. Teo Yik Ying, Professor and Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at the National University of Singapore. Prof, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So first, Prof, tell us, let's talk about this latest news of Singapore and Hong Kong's travel bubble. Tourism is a major contributor to Singapore's economy. Why is this move so critical for Singapore?
Well, I believe for many countries, not just Singapore, they rely on tourism. And it certainly goes beyond the tourism sector, but also it is an important lifeline to the aviation sector. We have seen the impact of COVID-19 on airlines globally, including our own national carrier, Singapore Airlines. So the formation of this travel bubble really goes beyond just allowing tourism between Singapore and Hong Kong to resume, but it's also an important signaling that Singapore is open for business and it's keen to form further travel bubble arrangements with other countries as long as these countries are able to get a handle on their own COVID-19 situation.
And what kind of tourism receipts could we be looking at from this arrangement?
Well, I'm not really qualified to discuss this as I'm not an economist or a tourism expert, but I think there's a very well-written commentary online by Brandon Sobey, who is an aviation consultant and the previous chief analyst for the Centre for Aviation in Australia. And it talks a little bit about the tourism dollars that could be generated. But I think it's important to emphasize that impact do go beyond just the actual tourism dollars, but also on the aviation sector and in operationalizing some of the safe management measures and protocols to handle incoming mass market tourism travelers.
And let's talk about the other arrangements that Singapore has as well. Where could we also see potential travel bubbles pop up within the region that would perhaps be a safe reciprocation between other countries and Singapore?
At present, actually, this arrangement is only for Hong Kong for unrestricted travel. There is some testing involved, but you don't need to be quarantined for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if one decides that if I want to actually go to a country where there is no current travel arrangement, for example, say to London, actually, there is nothing stopping me from doing so. But the problem is when I travel to a country right now with no recognized travel arrangement, I automatically forfeit my right to claim any medical insurance if I end up being infected with COVID-19. And also, of course, it's never a one-way trip. You have to come back to Singapore. And when you come back to Singapore from, for example, from the United Kingdom, you have to be quarantined for 14 days at your own expense, and you have to pay for a PCR test when you return. So there are all these restrictions for returning Singaporeans as well. And so I wouldn't advise on taking all this risk and cost, actually. So let's keep to the travel arrangements that we have, the travel bubbles, and if for essential business travel, stick to the green lane travels.
We're speaking with Prof. Teo Yik Ying, Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at NUS. So while we start to open up borders and bubbles and green lanes, it's important to balance, isn't it? Open borders and keeping people safe, Prof.
Yes, indeed. Because safety remains at the topmost of our considerations when we decide who we can partner with, who we can open up for tourism or even green lanes. Hong Kong, for example, has been one territory that has very strong public health measures built into their system, including contact tracing, isolation and quarantine, and also ring fencing all confirmed infections from the rest of the community. So they were a natural partner, actually, for us to develop this travel bubble. But I think it is important also to highlight that it is not just Hong Kong that has such good measures and practices in place. Other countries and territories that I can name include New Zealand, China, Thailand, Vietnam, and Taiwan. I certainly do hope that there will be further announcements of travel bubbles, perhaps with some of these places that I've just talked about.
And from a health and safety perspective as well, what's the difference between testing versus quarantine for travel?
Well, so quarantining for a specific period of time, in this case for COVID-19, we quarantine people for 14 days, actually allow most of the people who are infected to to show their infections during this quarantine period.
Mm-hmm.
So quarantining incoming travelers is still the best way to catch any incoming infections. But this requires a long period that doesn't really make sense for holiday travel. Testing with a PCR swab test allows us to identify whether a person is infected at the point of testing. But there is a chance that a person who is infected is in what we call the incubation phase of the infection, meaning they are actually infected, but even with a PCR swab test, it is still unable to show that the person is infected. And it requires a few more days before the test will show a positive. So there is a much higher chance of missing someone who is infected if we rely solely on testing rather than on quarantine. But I think bringing back this to the discussion around Hong Kong, from an operations perspective, we also need to look at the likelihood that someone is infected. And this is where Hong Kong comes in, because with the arrangement in Hong Kong, the chance that someone is coming from Hong Kong with an infection is actually very, very small because of the current situation in Hong Kong right now. Similarly, it's very similar to our community situation in Singapore.
Mm. And you know, Prof, Singaporeans, we love to travel. I mean, I was reading the article just after the news was announced. The price of SQ flights from Singapore to Hong Kong, I think they jumped something like 40% overnight due to demand after the travel bubble was announced. But, you know, as we've spoken about, we're still in the midst of a global pandemic. We're slowly opening up with such bubbles. What should travelers be mindful of when they're looking to book?
Well, I think firstly, anyone who's looking to book a holiday now to any travel bubble locations, we have Hong Kong now, but perhaps in a few more weeks, Singapore may have more countries in the travel bubble. I think any travelers must first have the mindset that there is a risk involved when they make the booking. Because if the situation in Singapore or in Hong Kong deteriorates,
mm-hmm.
there is a real chance that the travel bubble arrangement will be reviewed and put on hold, which means any bookings made may need to be cancelled or forfeited. And I think any traveller during this period needs to understand this risk clearly. And secondly, it's also important for travellers to understand what are the rules and regulations around COVID-19 control in the destination country. For example, if you're going to Hong Kong, we need to understand there are rules around eating in a restaurant, because over there, it's four people to a table compared to five in Singapore. And whether there are any specific rules around tourist sites and tourist avenues. So they cannot take for granted that they are going back to Hong Kong in the same situation pre-COVID, because they may be used to moving about, dining in a particular manner that they traveled to Hong Kong before COVID-19. And I think the last thing is, it's important for travelers to remember that they can still make sure they are better protected by being sensible, even when they travel. And by sensible, what I mean is by taking personal measures such as mask wearing, personal hygiene, trying to minimize large crowds. And I think you're right to say that there is still a global pandemic out there. And even though travel bubbles, in theory, are safe, because that's where the consideration comes in, it never, ever hurts for individuals to play their part and to remain vigilant.
Well, Prof, thank you so much for that important reminder as well. We've been speaking with Prof Cho Yik Ying, Dean of the Saw Swee Hock School of Public Health at NUS, here on Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Thanks, Prof.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.